Thank you again for inviting me. We picked the topic, obviously, because it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, so we had needed a topic that has to do with davening. I want to begin with just a couple questions to introduce the topic. And we're in a Sfardi shul, right? This is a Sfardi minyan. So if I'm not mistaken, they start Slichas tomorrow morning, correct?
Sunday.
They start Sunday, okay. But way ahead of us. And in Ashkenazi communities, the Yudim Midot, the 13 Midot, the Rachamim, are only said basically about 2 weeks a year, or on fast days, but you know, Shlichus is only like 10 days or so. And that's when we take Yudim Midot. Nusach Sfard says Yudim Midot every day with Sachnu. Ashkenaz is more important to learn, so they could have a lot of things in Daphne. So some are more familiar or less, but my point is, in especially Ashkenazi communities, Yudim Midot is identified with Chodesh Elul, doing tshuva, getting ready for the high holiday. Now, there's a... When we say them, everyone read Harry Potter? Or, you know, some of you, at least? Okay. But it's very in this idea of magic formulas, saying hocus pocus or things like that, and something will happen. And I simply picked for the title. Sometimes we have this feeling that if you say Yudim Midot, right, there's like this magic string you can pull by God. No, I'm up for punishment. If I can say these magic words, I can get my salvation. You know, the Goyim have Hail Mary, and we have, Yudgimu Midot kind of thing. And I, obviously, that's not what I want to say something different. And there's a midrash that Gemara brings down that, based on what we say in davening, I'll begin. Remember, Kamelech Yosheva Kisei Rachamim rings a bell. Rochel Benot Amor, Mother Rishon Rishon. We give the whole thing. Then we say something very interesting. We say, El Horeta Lanu Lamar Shlosasrei, God, you instructed us to say these 13 statements. Uzchor Lanu Hayom Brit Shlosasrei, and remember today the covenant of the 13. And then we quote the Pesukim, which we're going to learn about. Kmosh Ketuv B'Torah Kmosh Shenemar. You familiar with what I'm talking about? Usually you do it. It's hard to say without chuckling. And what I'm trying to explain tonight is, why is it called a Brit? Why is it called a covenant? They're attributes. Why? We use the word, remember the covenant of the 13. Why is it called a covenant? A covenant is an agreement, a deal. Anyone's a lawyer? Yeah, any lawyers in town? We're going to need a lawyer. At least we need one lawyer tonight. A lawyer? Okay, good. So we'll have a covenant, right? Contracts, lawyers know what they are. They're binding, they're two sides, but there's usually something behind them. Why is this? Attributes are attributes. Why are they called a covenant? Now, there's one midrash which is very beautiful. It says that, what did God say? God told Moshe Rabbeinu, anytime you're in trouble, say these 13 things, and I guarantee you, I'll answer your prayers. Which almost sounds like a magic formula. But what's the problem with a magic formula? It's very un-Jewish. Right? At least the way I understand Judaism, that all we need to do is, like, you don't pull strings to move God. God isn't this puppet that if we know what string to pull, we can get some kind of action out of them. But what's beautiful about Judaism is our reaction with God isn't based on magic formulas and rituals, it's based on our deeds and our actions. And how God intervenes with us, and what we get is based on our, what God wants from us to do is not to pull strings, but to do what's right. So sometimes there's rituals which remind us of what needs to be done. But he's not a puppet that you can pull strings. That's idol worship. And I expect in when we talk about God's midot of rachamim, this should be based on our actions and not on our magic formulas. Now, to prove my point and a deeper understanding of what this idea of a covenant of 13 is, and what I think the Gemara is referring to, we have to learn some chumash. That's what I'm here for. And I hope everyone has a chumash. Okay. I hope you not fall asleep. And as far as the shiur goes, as soon as three people fall asleep, the shiur's over. It's late at night, they have Shabbos, I don't know how, what do you call it? What we're going to do is we're going to trace this concept of covenant from, basically from scratch. A covenant usually is an agreement between, some type of an agreement. What's the first covenant we find in Chumash? Just we'll go a quick review. Very good, Noach. What's the covenant between? It's a covenant between basically God and all living things. And God makes this deal. No, simply, I won't destroy you in mass all in one shot anymore. Take it little by little. But no, I won't do. You know, there'll always be, nature will remain. Society, humans will be there. We won't wipe out creation again. But that's a very distant relationship. It's there, it's an agreement, but it's very distant. What's the next time we have a covenant? That's Avram Avinu. That's what basically the rest of Sefer Bereshit is about, which is God makes a covenant with Avram Avinu. We like to call it Brit Avot. Everyone's heard of Brit Avot? It's got two parts. It's what's called Brit Ben Aptarim and Brit Milah. We're not going to get into all that. That would take us way too long. But from what you remember Brit Avot, what are the key elements of Brit Avot? What's being promised? What's being promised? What are the two sides of it? What's God's side in this Brit Avot? What's he promising? And you remember? It's a little Zionistic, yeah? Remember the land of Israel, he promises, and a nation. What's God say? Listen, I promise to make you a great nation. I promise to give you a land. Are they two separate promises or the same promise? Are those two separate things, like apples and oranges, or are they one thing? Or are they an apple and a core? Yeah? Two separate things. How are they related? What I'm asking is, does God promise you to be a nation and also a land? Or one comes with the other? And that's a deeper question. Is the land there because does God want a nation? And in order to become a nation, you need a land? Or does God want a land and in order to make the land famous, you need a nation? Some people in Israel will say that. No, the land's most important. I'll try not to be too leftist. You follow my point? But I think it's definitely easy to understand that God wants there to be a nation. Remember the first thing God tells Abram? I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to give you the land to become that nation. I think the simplest understanding is God's goal is the nation, and then and we need a land for that nation to... Then land becomes sort of a vehicle for that nation to develop. Because at least in ancient times, except for the idea of a nation and a land usually goes hand in hand. I like to bring it to joke, like, as I was asked, how come all the Italians moved to Italy? You follow the question? How did all the Italians end up in Italy? What's the answer? It's that whoever was living... Well, you begin with the land, and the people living in the land become the nation. And Judaism is very different, you notice. Where do we become a nation? Some people talk about land of Israel as our like homeland. Homeland in English? No, it's Moledet. Motherland? Yeah, motherland. That's not. Abram is from Aram. He's called an Arami. It's from Aram. And where do we become a nation? In Egypt. That's what Brit Ben Aptarim is about. That God says, you're not going to be like any other nation. You're not a nation because you grew up in the same land. You're a nation because you have a job to do. And in order for you to do your job, I'm giving you a land to get the job done. The main source for that is the first Rashi in Chumash, if you remember that. That's why Bereshit begins with the story of creation, Rashi explains, to let you know that the land belongs to God, and God lends it to us in order to get the job done. It's a vehicle to do a job. God's the owner. He likol ha'aretz. Yeah, even though he might say bumper stickers a little bit different.
You said there were two great, but what did we have to do for the first two?
That's the question. What do we have to do? I mean, what obviously we have to go through basically this process of going down to Egypt. We have to go through basic training in Pre-Pain of Turing. You have to go through basic training to learn what it means to be a slave. God has to come and save you from slavery to become the nation. The second Brit Milah, a Brit Avot, that's more our job. It's he'll be your God and you'll be his people. What's called Le'ot Lachal Elohim. We're going to be basically dedicated to that. I want to use a little model from the business world. Maybe some businessmen, not only lawyers. And if I remember correctly, I'm not so good at it, otherwise I'd be in business. When these companies, you have what's called an idea. You have a business idea. I'll call it a mission statement. Someone has a mission statement. You want to do something. You have a tremendous idea. Not a plan, whatever it is. A mission. You have a goal. But you can have the greatest goal. What's the next thing you need to make that goal come real? What do you need? You need a business plan. You follow? You can have a mission statement, but that mission statement has to be followed by a business plan. You have the greatest goals. If you don't have a mission statement, you have a business plan to get it done, and usually a technology, right, which will help you implement it, you're not going to get your investors. You follow? Well, I like to understand Sefer Bereshit as a mission statement. And that's what Brit Avot is. What's behind Brit Avot? I want to give a very basic point, which is we're going to need it for later on. I hope it's nothing too earth-shattering. I think it's simple. But often it's understood that God's promising the land of Israel and this nation, Avram, if you know, is like, call it like he won a lottery and he lucked out. So Avram hit the jackpot. What happened? God said, you know what, Avram? You're such a nice guy. Here's a present. And they view becoming a great nation and having a land as sort of a privilege. So we lucked out. If you read Chumash Bereishit a little more carefully, it's quite the opposite. We were chosen for responsibility. And the Kip Sukim, which I like to quote all the time, where Sefer Bereishit spills the beans, maybe we'll read it, as long as you have the Chumashim there, the way to remember it is called Chai Chai. You follow what I'm saying, Chai Chai, in Gematria? What's Chai? 18. And Chai is? 18. So, chapter 18, verse 18. That's a great way to remember. Probably the most important Sukim in Sefer Bereishit. Take a look inside. It's in the story of the beginning of Parshat Vayera. If you remember back from Chumash, God wanted to destroy Sodom, and before he does so, he's got to tell a friend. Who remembers? It's Rishon. No, it's not Rishon. It's in Sefer Bereishit. People remember the story. You remember? God tells Sarah she's going to have a baby. And then, remember the three angels who come? One to destroy Sodom, one to tell about Yitzhak being born, and one to save Lot. Now, before Avram decides, before God destroys Sodom, he says, I'm going to consult with Avram. And before he consults with Avram, Chumash gives us a little parenthetical reminder of what this is all about, which is some of the Kip Sukim. Rambam makes a big deal about them. All the Nzim make a big deal about them. He says, God says in verse 17, he says, am I going to hold back from Avram what I'm going to do? And in verse 18, Pasuk Yitzchad, what does Chumash tell us? Avram is going to become a great nation. Sounds familiar? Where's that from? That's Lech Lecha, isn't it? That's Chalukah. He'll be a blessing. Almost word for word. All the Psukim from Brit Avot. And then, in Pasuk Yitzchad, Chumash builds the beans. For what reason was Avram chosen? Why did I tell Avram he's going to become a great nation? And why am I giving him this land? Why? Ki dati, because I've come to know him. I have a purpose for him. Leman, in order. The word yada means to have an intimate relationship in Chumash. I've come to know him. Not that God knows, but I've known him. Not yadati, but yadati. I've come to know him. Leman, asher yitzaved banav et beito acharav, in order that he will command his children and their children's children. Basically, in order that he's going to set a family tradition of following the way of God, lishmor derech Hashem, lasot, tzedakah u'mishpat. You follow? Why did God choose Avraham Avinu? He has a responsibility to set up a nation who's known doing tzedakah u'mishpat. You follow? Now, that's the mission statement. How is that going? How are we going to accomplish? That's a wonderful idea. I want to make a nation that's going to be exemplary and be a shining example of tzedakah u'mishpat. What do I need? I need a business plan. Musa, what's the business plan? You can guess already if you're following what I'm getting at. What's the business plan? How am I going to take that mission statement and turn it into a? How am I going to accomplish it? Not best Sefer Shmos, but it's simpler than that. It's in Sefer Shmos. What's the business plan? That's the first step. That's Matan Torah. You follow? Better known as Brit. What's Brit? Brit Sinai. I'm trying to follow. Let me explain what I'm getting at. It's a real simple concept, very basic. And I'm just using an analogy from the business from a business example to get the point across. There's a mission statement, and there's a business plan to get it accomplished. Now, what's important is the analogy. You can have, if you follow a business plan to the T, but when you're doing it, you don't know and understand or appreciate your mission statement, I doubt if it's going to work. We call it Nevav Bershut HaTorah. That's what the Ramban calls. You can follow every law, but if you don't identify with your goal, it's not going to happen, right? On the other hand, if you're just a dreamer with a great idea, but don't know how to structure it into a set of laws and a working plan and a procedure, you're not going to get off the ground either. You follow the balance between halakha and machshava? That's my point. It's important to understand why it's important to be Jewish and what the goal is, but it's also important to understand the need for it to be structured. Now, that was for my introduction to understand this concept of Brit in Chumash. Now we get to the fun part. How are we going to get to, how, what does it have to do with 13 Midot and Brit? This business plan, someone said, what did they call it? What was that number thing? What was the first? What did you call it? You said Sarah Zibros, yeah? And someone said, told me the answer in English. What do you call them in English? Ten Commandments. Did anyone ever notice that that's a terrible translation? Not a terrible, but a misleading translation. What's it say in Chumash? Ten Commandments or Sarah Zibros? It says Dvarim. Now, what's the difference between mitzvot and dibrot? What's mitzvot mean? Commandments, correct? What are dibrot?
Statement.
What's a statement got to commandment? No. What's more inclusive? What's more general? A statement is more. Okay. Now, because we're like a small group, we can turn this into a class. You have any chumash? I want you to take a look at the Ten Commandments. You can find them. They're on the, on the other shoulder. Who's ever been to show in I think in Englewood? Right. There's a show in, I think in Englewood, where they're all written right, aren't there? There's some show, I think it's in Riverdale. But where there's a show, they have all the Ten Commandments on the Riverdale? See the Riverdale or Englewood, one the other. Now, I want you to take a look at the Ten Commandments, okay? And I want you to tell me, find me something that's not a commandment in the Ten Commandments. I'm the Lord of God. Do you know that's a giant argument among commentators?
Wow.
Whether you count that as a commandment or not. Some people say that's the most important commandment, right? Accepting, you know, recognizing God. Some people say it's a preamble to all the commandments. Okay, but we can. That's an important one, but I don't think that's a. We can swallow that as a commandment if you want. You're with me, chapter 20 in Sefer Shemot. You guys have the page? Who found the page? Before 500? Before?
406.
Alright, so right on the page. Okay, you found it. Everyone have a 406? 20? Scan a little bit and tell me you find something that's not a commandment in the Ten Commandments. Don't tell me the answer. I want you to think and then we'll share answers. I want people to give like 30 seconds. Read the first couple of psukim and find me something that's not a commandment in the Ten Commandments. Okay, the first statement we can argue. That's the argument Ramban Ibn Ezra. But it can be understood as a super commandment or a preamble to the commandment. But for sure, Anochi, it doesn't sound like a commandment. You've read these before, haven't you? Yeah? They had a whole thing on the news about them, weren't they? In Alabama somewhere?
Yeah,
okay. I thought they could solve the problem there in Alabama instead of saying, so it's up here. You can just put a sign, these are only for show. No, they're not. So, you know, to leave it in the court. Yeah. Okay, we'll start taking answers. What's the first thing that's not a commandment? Yeah? Okay, what's it say? Well, first tell me what words you're referring to. Botish tachavelahem is a commandment?
No.
That's a commandment, right?
Yes, right,
yeah?
Right. Because when it says,
that's not a commandment, is it?
Right.
Everyone agrees. One second. Everyone agrees it's not a commandment. If it just said, Botish tachavelahem, that's a commandment. If there was a full stop there, it's a commandment. Now we have an add-on. You called it a
description.
Let's read what it is, and we'll say what it is. Okay? Because I am the Lord your God, Elkanah, I am a zealot. Not jealous, zealot. There's a big difference. I mean, a small difference, but there's a difference in zealous. Jealous is, seems to be like a bit of a negative trait. Little kids are jealous, even when they get older. And the God is zealous. Means what? What does zealot do? He's hard, but he's quick. Okay. Pinchas says that means he's quick to punish, quick to react. Like a zealot.
Like, why is that more of a commandment than the first one?
Then Anochi?
No.
No, I agree. Anochi is arguable. Anochi is arguable. But it's not, Lo tishtachaveh is a commandment. Don't bow down.
Right.
or keep Shabbat. That's a commandment.
Right.
But now we don't. It's not a commandment. The commandment's over. Now we have. You're saying it was a.
No. If you're saying the first one could be argued.
No.
So
let's say the first one's not a commandment, okay?
Okay.
The first one's not a commandment, but it's I'll call it a preamble.
Okay.
I don't want to get my whole Ketav and Ezra Ramban. I can explain why it's a commandment, but that's a whole, it would take up all our time. If you want to see into detail, look at the Ramban Ibn Ezra on the topic.
Well, again, it's more like a statement.
It's definitely a statement.
Yeah.
It's a statement, but it's not something I can follow or not follow. It's not a do or don't do. Okay. Now, what is it? I keep on forgetting what you told me. You said to say?
Description.
A description of what? Of the commandment?
No, Hashem.
It's a description of God. Okay, not of the commandment. What else might it be? It could be a reason.
A
rationale. Or what else might it be?
Another.
If it's another mitzvah, it's something I have to do.
Right.
What's it sound like? Why is God telling you that I'm a zealous God? Poked avon, I punish harshly for those who hate me. Okay? And do chesed for those who love me and follow my laws. Is that a reason? Is that a reason why the law is there? It's a reason for what? It's a warning. Let me give you in contrast. Shemor Yom Shabbat LeKadosho. Remember that one? You said you're going to say this in Shabbat, aren't you? Coming up, right? That's commandment. Shesh Shemim Tavod V'Sichom La'Asef Yom Shabbat L'Shem Elokecha. Lo Tasechom L'Lachai No By Heart. Then we also have key what? Ki Shesh Yitamim Asah Hashem Et Hashmayim V'Tarot. Why can't you work on Shabbat and keep it? Why? Because God made creation in 7 days. That's very different. You follow?
That's a reason.
That's exactly my point. That's the reason why God's commanding you the law. This isn't a reason why God's commanding. God's commanding lo tishah. Why? Because Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Therefore, if you want a reason for lo yelacha Elohim acharim, it's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. This isn't a reason. This is a warning. Or it's a reason why you should keep it, but it's a... It's telling you why it's worthwhile to keep this law. But it's a type of a warning. Yeah.
Why is it not, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, 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 as opposed to their God, then you go see it, I am Kelkana, I am the one that punishes, not their God don't do this. I am the God that punishes, and I am the God that rewards.
But again, that's not a reason why you can't bow down to them. I mean, that may be a practical application. I think it seems to me like a warning why it pays to keep this law. It's like and also because I promise you reward if you do keep it. Now, in essence, what's this telling you? Keep my laws. Why? It's worth it for you, and that if you don't. Camp's over? Or tomorrow's first day of school? Not yet. In Israel, coming up soon. First day of school starting this week. First day in school, what happens? You come to school, and some schools, what you get a list of school laws. Remember that when you go to school or camp, whatever it is, first day of school laws. What are kids thinking, actually? Cat, what do you call it? I'll make fun of girls' schools for today. Anyone sending kids to girls' schools? I can't make fun of boys' schools. First day of girls' schools, you remember what happened? Here's your school rules, right? Sleeves, down to your ankles. And what else is there? No drinking, no talking in a pillow phone, I don't know. Make a set of laws. Yeah. So here are all the laws. What's the teenager thinking?
Right.
What? What do they care about? What'll happen if I break the law? Right. So some schools say, if you break the law, the smallest one, out you go. We have 20 people, 300 girls waiting in line to get into the school, and we can't ruin our reputation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and therefore for the sake of Kali, so et cetera, one mistake and you're out. Or maybe for a bunch of terrorists. You follow? There's other schools that say, listen, you can make three. The analogy is important. You follow? Every set of laws comes with their enforcement. You follow my point? We have commandments that come also with how they're going to be enforced. And what does this sound like? How are these going to be enforced? How would you define this enforcement? What type of enforcement is this? What? No, is it strict or lenient?
Strict.
It's strict. This is, I call it, it's like being in the army. In basic training. I don't know if you've been to basic training, but in basic, what happens? One thing wrong, you're punished. You follow the idea? Which is understandable also. There's sometimes when you need to be strict. Like with your first child, usually. sometimes, at least you think you need to be strict. You follow? Because that's how we grow up. They don't know what's right and wrong. Do something good. Tab loves dogs. You follow? Now, why? What's the habamina? You know what that word means? What's the logic for having a set of rules with strict implementation, with strict punishment? What do you gain by that? What do you gain? What's the positive side of being strict? No, they'll get the job. They'll be followed. There's a Svara to Pavlov. What's his name? It makes it. If you want to train dogs, if you want a dog that will do the job, you got to train them. You follow? If you want to bring up a dog, okay, you can train him that way. I'm a little lenient in myself. I'm explaining things. You follow the idea? Yeah. Why am I making a deal? What type of midot is he? What would you call them? Does that sound like midat rachamim to you? It's definitely. Elkana, I'm a zealous God. Poked avon l'sonai. How about ose chesed lo avai? Is that din or rachamim? Remember, din doesn't mean mean or bad. Din means you get what you deserve. You follow? It's classic reward and punishment. Remember, it says ose chesed lo avai, as opposed to poked avon l'sonai. I'm not saying he chesed free for all. That's the 60. What's God say? Chesed for those who deserve it. And punishment for those who deserve punishment. You follow? That's din. Anyone ever realize there were midot with the divrot? You never noticed that before, did you? That's a key point. You follow? The Ten Commandments, what do you call the Ten Commandments? Come with this set of laws, this business plan, comes with very strict implementation. Strict warning. I'll give you another. Look at the next dibur. What's the next commandment? Commandment 3. Lo tisad shem Hashem elokecha lashav. Don't say God's name in vain. Why? Not the reason why you can't, because it's not nice. It's a chelo Hashem. But what's the warning that follows that? Ki lo yinakeh Hashem. What does that mean? God won't forgive you. Don't you dare make a mistake, right? Because you know, I won't forgive you. One thing longer out. Oh, so yeah. What, first time Chumash?
No, the first part where it says,
right. You're taking a slogan and turning it into. Let me explain your question.
I'm asking if it's meant to echo
what
Hashem described Abraham
like
earlier from the
Sakhan Mishpat.
What do you mean? Yes,
explain now. I'm
just wondering if you
have to cast
a
breed. Wait, the Ten Commandments is a breed? Yeah. Anyone? Wait, it's a seder, what do we think? Echad miyodea, right? Shnaim? What's Shnaim? Breed. Yeah. Obviously, no, the Ten Commandments are a breed. Right. And they call that a breed all the time. That's Shnei Luchot HaBrit. What's written on the Shnei Luchot HaBrit? The Ten Commandments. Now you see why they're covenant? Because they're not just laws. It's a deal. We need a lawyer. Right? What? Well, that's why we need. When you sign an agreement, when you sign the contract, you go out to lunch, right? Or something? Right? Does that happen? Why? Or two governments sign a treaty? They have a state dinner. Or a joint dinner. Or have a party, you follow? Chos and Kala, right? The family's meet, and you have a dinner. It's a covenant. It's super. It's a covenant. I mean, I think so, isn't it? Wait? Okay. Need a lawyer there also. A prenup. Okay. Now, my point is as follows. What we call the Ten Commandments, what Chumash calls the Ten Dibrot, come together with strict implementation. Meant to breach Sinai. Got it? Now, then the rest of them come with the. That's it for the. Those are the midot that come with them. After they get the Ten Commandments, and there should have been more. Remember, the people get scared without doing the whole story. And what do the people want? Moshe. Listen, it's sort of freaking, it's too much for them. Moshe, we got the main point. You go up. You go to Shir, and we'll take your notes, basically. You follow? And they get the, and what follows? Moshe goes up, he gets what? More and more laws, better known as Parshat Mishpatim. And if we had time, which we don't, we'd go on and show you that there's laws and laws and laws, all the way until Perek Chav Gimel, page 436. Chumash continues after the Ten Commandments with more and more and more commandments. Now the business plan gets more and more detailed. I get some principles in the beginning, but this get more detailed. Which we have to have laws about civil damages, and laws about being moral, and laws about bidrash shekhet echad. You know, hashavat aveda, and pashim. You remember pashim mishpatim? If not, read it one day. Skip to 436, shishi, or chapter 23, perachav gimel, pasukhav. Chapter 23, verse 20. A little assignment again. Read the pasuk and tell me if this is a commandment, or if it's not a commandment, what is it? What is it? Everyone with me? 436? Pasukhav. The bottom line. Read the line. Hinei anochi sholech malach lefanecha. I'm sending a malach to lead you. Who this is, we'll talk about. To guard you on the way. Laviyachal amokom ha-shachinoti. I'll bring you shliach aliyah. Follow? I'm going to bring you a someone to help you come to the land of Israel. Sure. Is that a commandment? No. It's a, what is it? Sounds like a promise. Okay. Listen carefully now. Hishamem mipanav u'shma b'kolo. This malach, this emissary that I'm sending with you. Listen to him carefully, what he tells you. Al tamebo, don't rebel against him. Why? Ki lo yisalefi shechem, kishmi v'kibol. Remember this. What won't he do? He won't. What's he tell the Pesachim? He won't forgive you. Why won't he forgive you? Because my name is with him. Who's this malach sound like? One more line. Kim shemot tishma b'kolo. If you listen to what he tells you to do, v'asitat kol asher adaber, and hence you'll be doing whatever I'm saying. Who is this who's speaking for God? Who can this person be? Who's going to lead him to land? Who's supposed to lead him to land of Israel? And when he speaks, it's so God is speaking. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. We hope it's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. The plan was to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, you have to follow his, not only the laws you've heard now, the laws you're going to hear more of. And what type of midah do we have again? What attribute is that? Dina Rachamim? Dina again. You see the pattern already? Yeah?
Isn't the actual sending Rachamim, though?
Listen to the deal. Im shemot tishma b'kol shedaber v'yafti tavech v'tarti tzorecha. If you listen to what he says, I'll help you conquer the land. If you don't listen, I'll help you with it. If you don't listen, you're in big trouble. That's din rachamim.
No, that's din, but the act of sending itself, isn't that rachamim?
It could be. It depends why you're doing it. That rachamim implies that you're getting forgiven. You're absolved. You did something wrong and you deserve to be punished and you'll be absolved. You follow? Rachamim is like, it could be a nice, there might be the element of Rachamim, but my point is the relationship between Amisa, between God and his people. There's a set of laws and a very strict implementation. The pattern goes on and on. That's my main point. These two can come back to haunt us, but we're going to play with them later on. Then Kilech Malachi Lefanecha will lead you. There's a lot of promises if you follow God. The rest of the chapter, promising him the sky or the land, if they follow, and warning them terribly if they follow another God. Okay. Moshe goes up to Har Sinai in the end of chapter 24. Let's go up again. Remember chapter 24? Moshe goes up in verse 12. Let's see that. Remember there's a breach in chapter 24 when they say Nafta Benishma. And then God tells Moshe go up to get the Luchot Evan. You know the story, huh? Remember Moshe goes up for 40 days and 40 nights? I think for granted you know that. Moshe goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. He gets a whole set of laws. What happens back at the ranch? Chetei Egel. Right? Based on this contract that they just accepted at Har Sinai, right? And they just made a whole treaty in chapter 24. What, according to the laws of the contract, of this contract, what does God have to do? Because the people sinned with Chetei Egel. He has to punish them immediately. Is that what he says he's going to do? Exactly. Let's read what happens. Now we can skip really big. Page 500, I think. 498, 496. Chapter 32, verse 7. 494. This story you know, I hope, right? Go down, ki shechetamcha, asher leitemetem, your people went astray. So minaderach hasher tibitim masula megamasecha, and they bow down to it, etc. Basically, they broke the second commandment. Now, Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Vayom Hashem Moshe, page 496. Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Vayom Hashem Moshe. Ra'iti et ha'am. God says, I've come to a conclusion. I see, means I come to a conclusion about this nation. What are they? Bnei am k'she'orafu. What are they? They are a stiff-necked people. Means they're not changing. Vatah ha'nichali. Now, allow me, please. Vayichar api b'hem v'chalem. What does God want to do now? Why? Based on the contract. Got to kel kanap. Okay, number one, he's got to get it right away. Okay. The sales chal goy gadol. And I'll make you a great name. Sounds rings a bell, goy gadol? Where's it ring a bell from? Avram. Okay. What is God bound to? Brit avot can't be broken. That's what the akedah is about. So we read it on Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's the way the Parshim explained. That the shvuah with the akedah means brit avot can't be broken. Brit avot can't be broken. What can be broken, though? How do we know it can be broken? That's exactly what Moshe does. In a minute, right? In other words, if it's, put it this way. If Brit denied with the Catholic marriage, you know what I'm talking about, the Catholic marriage? It means you can't break it. You can't annul it. Then what would God have to do? We'd have to punish the people terribly. And who would survive? Only Moshe or people like Moshe. Only the best. Only Mr. Perfect. Now, what does Moshe do to solve the problem? Okay. That's what we need a lawyer for. What's he do? Moshe is great. What's he do? If we keep the contract, what happens? You have to be destroyed. How does Moshe solve the problem? I'm explaining a beautiful medrash, you might know. It says, Ha'alukot asher shibarta. You know what Chazal say? Yishakoch asher shibarta. God says Moshe had a great idea about breaking it. In essence, what's Moshe doing? Moshe annuls the contract. And look, that's Moshe of Yisrael. No, we do that to solve a guna problem. You know, with the wedding, I don't even get to all the rabbinic stuff. You follow my point? Okay. Moshe, in essence, breaks the contract, and that's how he saves the people. Now, in addition to that, he also davens. He makes 2 points in his tefillah. What are they? What are the main 2 points in his tefillah? Lama yomu mitzvayim. Why should this become Echilu Hashem, and why else? And hold on, and Brit Avot. What did he tell God? He mentions the mission statement, doesn't he? How, what's the mission statement? That we're supposed to be a nation that's going to represent God. So the whole reason why God chose us to be a nation is why? To make his name great. To sanctify his name, to make his name known to other nations. What do we gain by everyone will think bad of God? Hey, listen, he can't take care of his nation. Follow? So, by punishing us, Moshe is telling God, as a lawyer, he says, why punish them harshly? It's going to ruin your mission statement. You won't gain anything. And two, you made Brit Avot. You promised to make this a nation. Okay. And that stays the, seems to stay the punishment. What's with the contract, though? The contract is, it's funny, he has to break the contract. What contract is broken? Brit Sinai. What stays? Okay, the pasuk Brit Avot without Brit Sinai? What? Okay, that's what we have to see now. Now, the story, remember Moshe Dab, Moshe God answers Moshe's tefillah? He doesn't kill them? Who remembers the story next? We're going to have some fun now. It'll be fun. Who, remember 3,000 people get killed? Why only 3,000, not more? I use a quick analogy from high school starting. There's a big party, Labor Day weekend party. All the kids from school are there, right? And, what do you call it? It gets wild. All right, the police come, and there's a drug bust, okay? Everyone gets arrested, and they start to bum, and by self, then we leave, 500 kids go home, and 20 kids are remaining. What do they do? Who's kept behind? The pushers, right, are punished, and the users, you know I'm talking about pushers and users? Remember, you guys are America. All right, it's 20th century, it's 21st already. The users, they did something wrong, but they were misled. The pushers, they're in trouble. The 3,000 are punished are the people who turned Chet HaEgel into Ruach HaKodesh. Without going into the whole story, that if you want details, read Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and Kuzari or Ramban's Pirush on Chumash, the Chet HaEgel. That's beyond, that would take 3 hours that we can't do. Just to help you know the story. Now, my point is as follows. The 3,000 real troublemakers are punished. The users, right? We could be lenient, we could be harsh with them, etc. You follow? They're not killed. That story, remember? What happens next? What do you remember? Moshe goes up. Read one line. We're up to page 500. I think we are. Yeah, page 500, Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. We just skipped the whole story about killing the 3,000. Vayimi Mochorat, the next day. Everyone with me? Vayimi Moshe La'am, Atem Chatatem Chatat Gdolah. He tells him, you did a terrible sin. Vata Aleh L'Hashem Ulai Chapa B'chatchatchem. I'm going to go up to God now and ask for forgiveness. V'yashe Moshe La'ashem, V'yam Anna Chatam Atem Chatat Gdolah. Moshe goes in Davin. Don't look ahead. Look at me now, okay? Don't cheat. Okay. What do you remember? What do you think is going to happen? Moshe asked for forgiveness. What's God going to do? What do you think is going to happen? Don't feel afraid to say what you would say if someone else asked you. What do you think is going to happen? Moshe goes up and asks for forgiveness for the people. What does God say?
Why can't they ask for forgiveness?
Moshe goes up as a representative. He says, forgive them. Don't punish them. What? Yeah. And does God agree, yes or no? Does God forgive them or not? What's the classic story that everyone remembers? Moshe goes to ask forgiveness, and what's God come? How does God forgive them? With what? Up to get what? The second luchol, and we get the midot rachamim, and that's our shir. That's what we're expecting to happen. You follow? But everyone remembers in the sense how it is in Muya, pretty sure also. Moshe goes up. They kill the Levites kill the troublemakers. Moshe goes up. He gets the second luchol, and everyone's forgiven. And everyone skips chapter 33 because it's a really cool thing that happens in the meantime, which is amazing. Look what happened. Look at God's answer. We're almost in the end of chapter 32. Look at the answer. Okay. Moshe says in pasuk lamed bet. Look at his tefillah. Vata. Page 500, verse 32. Vata im tisa chatatam. What's Moshe demand from God to do what? Forgive them. Why does Moshe use the word im tisa? Remember Moshe Rabbeinu with the malach? What do we say about the malach? Ki lo yisa lepi shechem. It's Moshe's job. Moshe's charter. It's chartered to what? Lo yisa lepi shechem. Because God's with him. What's Moshe asked to do? Let me change the rules. Let me forgive them. And if you don't let me do that, what? If you don't let me forgive them, I went out of this also. Don't make me a great nation. I'm out of your book. Probably Bereshit. Okay. Listen to God's answer. What's God say? Don't tell me what to do. Right? I'll punish who I want to punish. Don't tell me how to run the show. Listen to the punishment. This is so amazing. Listen. Vata, what's that mean? Now. Lech lechei et ha'am. Translate for me. Go. Tell me the wrong answer. I knew you would say that, okay? Say that again. Comfort. 90% of the people always say that. That's not what it means. Don't go comfort the people. Nechei means lead the people. Look at the translation. Go lead the people. Don't comfort them. Because it says, go lead the people. And you have a much terrible listen to the punishment. What's the punishment? Go lead the people where? Ela shedibati lach. What's that? Lead the people where? To the land of Israel, what I told you about. Pinei malachi lech lefanecha. Right? Basically, go to the land of Israel. That's a punishment. No, I'm kidding. Go to the land of Israel. That's amazing. What's the punishment? Right? The punishment, go to the land of Israel, but what? I'm not coming with you. You follow? God says it exactly in the next. And when I punish you, don't forget pakarati. I'm not going to punish you immediately, but what? I'll get you back one day. You owe me one. I'm not absolving your sin. You'll get 24 installments. You know, because I'll say on this, every generation pays a little bit. You sinned, you deserve to be punished. I can't punish you all in one shot. I'll give you a little shot at it. We'll spread out in payments. You follow? But you owe me, and you're going to get punished. Now, look in chapter 33, we get this in detail. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, here it's, Lech alei mizeh. See verse 1? Right on page 500. Lech, go out of here. Go up from here. Atah b'mashe aleita be'eretz Mitzrayim, el ha'aretz asher nishbati l'ha'aretz mitzach Yaakov, l'mor l'sach l'kana. Basically, go where? Go to the land of Israel to fulfill what? Brit Avot. Brit Avot can't be broken. In essence, what's happening? Exactly what we talked about. We're going to find Brit Avot without what? Brit Sinai is broken, isn't it? The Luchot are broken. God told Moshe, go take the people of the land of Israel without me. Fulfill, I have a contract to Brit Avot, I'll fulfill my contract. My lawyer will take care of it. I'll send my malach. But me, I'm not coming with you. I'm going to come and keep my promise and get rid of all the other people. Verse 3. Listen carefully. Pasuk Gimel. Listen carefully. What's that mean? I'm not coming with you because you're a stiff-necked people. You follow that? What's God saying?
Goodbye.
Goodbye. You're on your own. I kept Brit Avot. I'm promised. I made a promise. I'll keep to it. I'm bound by that contract. I'll send my lawyer. Will take care of it. I'm not going to be with you. Why? Because we can't live together. Because what will happen if I come with you? Because the Brit Sinai, right? We can't be in the same apartment together. You follow? We can't share a house together. We're going to be out all the time. Why?
It's going to happen again.
It'll happen again and again and again. Basically, God's saying Brit Sinai is not going to work. I can't destroy you, right? Brit Avot, and I can't make this Chilul Hashem. What's the only solution? Brit Avot without Brit Sinai. And in jest, I say this is Herzl's dream come true. You follow my point? What's Herzl's dream come true? Without, I don't want to make fun of Herzl, but just, I don't know, sometimes, one time I said this and someone got angry with me for not being nice to Herzl. But my point is how Herzl is understood. He wants a Jewish state, right? A secular state with no Shechinah, no Kedusha, no Torah. Right? Maybe Pesach, yeah, maybe have the Passover Seder. An ethnic Jewish kind of thing. A Jewish nation, right? No Shechina, no Kedusha, no Kedushim to you. You follow? And that's what God's threatening, but that's the only solution. Correct? It's such a critical stage to understand what's going to happen next. And then, if we don't have time to read the story, you know what God tells Moshe to do? All the people have to take off their jewelry that they got at Har Sinai. It's like in the army. You've been stripped of your rank. If you were level A, you were in the special unit, you're out of it. Now you're a Jobnik, what's called. You know, the Israeli army. You're not no longer in a Sayer, you're no longer in a special unit. No. You're nobody now. Off goes your rank. Okay. What's the problem with this? You see what happened, though? This stage of the story no one ever noticed before, I'm pretty sure. Maybe you read it, but you follow? It's an amazing part of the story that no one knows. It's not in the movie either. But it's critical to the story. Who's gonna? Why does this happen? This is what Moshe does. Moshe doesn't buy it. Moshe has to move. God tells Moshe, move your tent away from the people. Skip to another page 504. Moshe intervenes. It's not going to work. Moshe is in Israel. He goes on strike. Moshe puts on the strike. Listen what he says. Remember Moshe Hashem. God tells verse 12 in Shlishi. Once you get that. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem. Re'eh. God tells Moshe tells God, I want you to listen up. Look up. I want you to understand something. Atom Me'elah, you're telling me to lead the people. And you're not telling me who you're sending with me. Moshe's giving a whole, what do you call it? Home Gemara Shir. Take out, we don't have time to go into it. It's difficult. I want just this last line, which is like a punch. I mean a verbal punch. Listen to what the end of verse 13. See the last smack? The end of verse 13. It's right before 14 starts. Ure'eh, ki amcha ha'goy hazeh. Listen to that punch. What's God tell Moshe? You listen, you look up at what? Ki amcha, this nation is what? He says, don't tell me to take them. Don't tell me you're not coming with me. It's your nation. You made them, you picked them, you stick with them. You have to go with them. Moshe's not, what do you call it? Moshe's not willing to accept to go to the land of Israel without God's presence. What's God say? God says, you know what? I'll go with you. We'll make a pshara. What's a pshara? I'll go with you, and you go with them. You follow? I'm not going to go with them. I can't go near them. They're impossible. You're okay. I'll go with you. You want to go with them? Fine. You're the middleman. Listen to what Moshe says back. We're going on strike. You don't come with all this, we're moving nowhere. See the chutzpah Moshe has here? You follow? What's Moses saying? We're together. Ani v'amecha. Over and over again. Me, and then you can't separate me from your nation. It's a package deal. You have to come with us. Now we're in a catch 22. You follow the catch 22? Once again, if God goes with them, what's the problem? They'll be destroyed. It won't work. Why? Because they're not Mashiach. If he doesn't go with them, Moshe is going nowhere. Why can't that be? Brit Avot has to be fulfilled. We're stuck. What do you do when you're stuck? Change the rules. Right? That's what's going to happen. We have to overcome this catch 22. What, in essence, what do we need? What end result do we need? If God goes with them, why does God have to go with them? Because we're God's people. But if God goes with them, they'll be destroyed. What do we need? What situation do we need? We need a situation where God can be with them, but what? And not be destroyed. If you break the rules, you won't. We need a more lenient. We need leniency. Is it the same business plan? It's the same laws, the same mitzvot, right? But different mitzvot. My enforcement is going to be different. I have the same law, now I need a more lenient system for it to survive. It's your second child. What? Now it's time for Dr. Spock. You know, he grew up in the 60s. You got? No, I need the same set of laws, but now I realize I have to be more lenient. It's not human to be so strict. And therefore, what's God tell Moshe? And now we have a pasuk we say over and over again in davening. Pasuk Yotet. Moshe asks, I want to see how it's going to work. This is what God tells Moshe. How are we going to solve this problem? Vayomer. Ani avir, the top of page 506. Vayomer. Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. I'm going to pass all my great, all my goodness in front of you. The karati v'shem Hashem lefanecha. What's God saying? I'm going to declare. God's going to make new dibrot, not new mitzvot, new dibrot. I'm going to make a declaration of my name in front of you. V'chanuti et asher achon v'chanti asher rachem. What's God going to declare? That there's a possibility of rachamim, rachum v'chanun. Not everybody, and not always, but what? Who remembers this from davening? Don't we say this all the time in Sichot? V'chanuti asher rachon, never v'chanti et asher. The chazan does this part, and everyone. It's like King Slichot over. I want you to understand the psukim you're going to say in Slichot all the time. I know it's a little 3 weeks ahead, but hope you remember till then. I want you to appreciate the psukim which we say over and over again. What's God saying? This is the solution. I'm willing to say, to keep the same laws, but now if you make a mistake, there's a possibility of mercy. Okay? And then God says something very difficult. Then God says, okay, but what? Now Moshe can't see God anymore. No, you can't see God's face, only his back, meaning. If this is the situation, there's a lack of clarity. With Pavlov's dog model, if you do something good, rewarded, bad, punished, then it's clear who God is in the relationship. Right? What happens when what? When you have a relationship, if you do something wrong, maybe you won't get punished right away. There could be two reasons why you're not getting punished. Maybe I didn't do anything wrong. Maybe God doesn't punish. Maybe God's not there. Maybe no one's looking. No. Now she loves me, she loves me not. It's a very different type of relationship now. There's less clarity, but there's more depth. I think that's what's behind it. It's not seeing God face to face, but seeing only his back. It's not as clear when you hear someone talking and they're not looking at you. You hear them talking, but it's not as clear. Now, okay, we're almost done. Yeah. I knew it. I could have predicted you'd say the question. We're going to get to that. That's the deepest question. The question is, like, it's sort of a setup. Like, God knew this it wasn't going to work. So why play the game? You can ask the same question, Sefer Bereishit. Why did God put man in Gan Eden? If you know he's going to fail. And why do you, that happens over and over again. Chumash, I see it as a foil. Put it this way. There's no doubt we end up with Midot HaRachamim. But to appreciate them, that's the whole idea of a foil. I need to show the ideal, or an extreme, to appreciate the end result. Moshe goes up. God tells Moshe now, it's time for new Luchot Mevar Psolecha. Let's try it again. What do we have to repeat now? We have to redo Brit Sinai. What's going to be the same and what's going to change? The laws are going to be the same. and the possibility of din is still there. But now we have sort of an amendment.
The what?
Now there's a possibility of rachamim. For that Moshe, we have to repeat the whole Har Sinai thing. That's the first four psukim. It's a repeat of Har Sinai. And now we get to the psukim we say in davening. Pasuk Dalad by Salt, page 508. Let's get right to Pasuk. Hey. Moshe goes up the mountain, makes two new luchot, the whole thing, and we're ready to roll. First five, plus a K, middle 508. Vayered Hashem banan, Moshe comes down in the cloud, vayetzeh b'mosham, vayikra b'shem Hashem. What's the guy do? God calls out. By the way, we say this in davening. A lot of people think that Moshe's calling out. God's calling out. You with me? Like he said he would. God said, I'm going to call out my name. God meets Moshe on the mountain, and God declares what? Instead of declaring the Ten, we don't have to declare the Ten Commandments, we know them. What has to change? The midot have to change. God passes over him, and what's God call out? Hashem, Hashem, Karochum, V'chanun, Erech Apai, V'alcheset, V'emet. That's the Gimel Midot of Rachamim. In other words, what's God saying? The same commandments, but what? But a more lenient enforcement. Now that God has changed his midot, we're going to go over them in a minute and review, and then we'll finish. But now we get the punchline. Listen to what follows. If this is true, what do we need now? What situation do we need? We need a situation where God will be in our midst, and we get away with sin. God declares his midot rachamim, and listen how Moshe reacts right away. Listen to pasuk 10. Pasuk 10. Top of page 510. By a man Moshe quickly hears the midot of rachamim, and what does he do? Says thank you. Pasuk 10. Listen carefully. If indeed I found favor in your eye, you look at what's Moshe beg for now? Yelechna Hashem tikirbeinu. Remember what he got threatened before? Kilo ala bikirbecha. I'm not going with you. What's Moshe ask for now? Come with us, right? What's ki amkshe orfu mean? What's ki mean? Because we're stiff necked. Ki sometimes means even though. What's God saying? Even though we don't deserve to be met, come anyhow, right? Because now you have mercy, come with us, even though we're not worthy. How? Okay. How does God agree? Now you understand what we say in davening? What are we asking for in davening? We want God to be in our midst. We want to be his people. We want him to be close. We want to take care of us. We want him to be with us. Okay? But we're not deserving. What are we saying? Remember the deal you made. That what? That even though we're not deserving, and we might deserve a much harsher deed, maybe me that thing we did something really bad, remember breach Shos Esrei. That's not pulling string. That's understanding Judaism. You follow? Okay. That's the essence of our relationship with God. Now with that in mind, I want to go back now. Now you have now I get out the blackboard. I didn't want to give this up in the beginning because then you wouldn't have been listening to me. Pass these out. Should be. You always make a little less than what you need, so it looks like you got a good turnout. I hear there's more. Here we go. Are these were in the car? Okay. Now we do have enough. What I want to do now is I want to appreciate, we just talked about Midot Rachamim in general, I want to appreciate word by word what they're all about. But to do that, I want to do a quick summary of what we did, the page will help us do that. Okay. The first thing we did is we looked at the Ten Commandments. First we gave our little game, we did the Brit Avot, the mission statement and the business plan. We get to the business plan, and I showed you the Ten Commandments, right, which are really debrot, have what? Come with Midot, come with attributes. And that's exactly what is highlighted. You follow? Kalkana, Pokedavon, Osechesed. I've highlighted all the midot that we discussed on our own. Now, then we talked about the malach in Terechav Gimel. And the pasuk Kilo Yisal Epishechem. See what's highlighted there also? The Moshe is the malach, Shmi V'Kibbo. God's name is in his midst. And, again. Then we had Terechav Lamed Bet after the Chet Egel, where God said, right, people are Amshe Oros, and And God's going to kindle with anger. God will get angry and will make you a great nation. And on the bottom right, I summarize all the midot, all the attributes that we found up until Chetega. What do we have? God is the Kelchana, Zealous, Poked Avon Sonai, Osechetzel Lo Avai, Lo Yinaker, Lo Yisav, Vayicharav. And there's no doubt that all of them are Din. I think it's clear that they're all Din. And there's a reason for that also. What's the logic of Din? There's an important job to do. I have a mission, and that mission has to be accomplished. Compared to an army, I need soldiers to get the job done. In a war, I can't use excuses. I got to get the job done. Excuses don't can't protect lives. You can't have excuses. You need results. I need to get the job done. And it's an important job. I can't accept failure. Then God proposes his punishment on the second column now. And that's what we talked about. That was amazing. We call that Herschel's dream. Remember that was? What's God say? Go to the land of Israel, but I'm not coming with you. Brit Avot without Brit Sinai. And then I reviewed the equation. What's the equation? An Amksha Oref with Shmi B'Kirbo. Because they're Amksha Oref, if God's presence is with them, what's that going to be? They'll be destroyed. On the other hand, an Amksha Oref with God, not with him, Shmi Lo B'Kirbo, or Kilo Le B'Kirbacha, then that's possible to fulfill Brit Avot. That was our catch 22 in the truth equation. Moshe Davin, because remember, this is your nation. And therefore, if you don't come with us, we're on strike. And what was our solution? Midot HaRachamim. Follow? No. Most God comes and declares Midot HaRachamim, and look what happens now. We'll finish with this. What I want to show you is how one by one, Midot HaRachamim are exact flip around of Midot HaDin. Word for word, topic by topic. We'll take them one at a time. Before we go, just go back to the summary on the right side. See the midot of Din? Kelkana, Poked Avon, Osa Chesed, Moinakeh. Let's look at the famous Yud Gimel midot that we know by heart. And look how one by one they relate to something earlier, but the exact opposite. God is what? Hashem now is Hashem El, Rachum V'Chanun, in contrast to Kelkana. Before he was a zealous God being quick to anger, now he's a merciful God, forgiving. Erech HaPaim, you know what that means, Erech HaPaim? Slow to anger. That's the exact opposite of Charona, Sayi Charapi. That's why I put the numbers there. Six to, you have the numbers? I lined them up? I didn't misnumber it. The numbers relate to the, I didn't want to draw lines across. It looks like elementary school. But you can draw the lines in your head. You can take a pencil later on. Erech HaPaim as opposed to Charona. Rav Chesed Demet and Notzer Chesed. God is Rav Chesed. What was he before? Also chesed for who? Ohavai. Before he did chesed for those who deserved it. What's he now? Now he got smicha? What's Rav Chesed mean? What's Rav Chesed mean? A mold of chesed to who? Then not to Ohavai. Even a Rosh HaVetovlo. Noster chesed means he holds back chesed. Noster to hold that. Like in Yisrael, I got that. To stop something. Aseret. He holds back chesed that people deserve. That's what you call tzadik v'lalo. No, you won't get chesed right away. Those deserve it might have to wait a little bit. You might have to wait a couple years. Some people might not deserve it or get it anyhow. People got to be nice to them. As opposed to osei chesed lo avai. The next one's simple. Nosei avon v'fesha, in contrast to, remember God told Moshe lo yisal l'pishechem, and Moshe's im tisayim lo. Now what's God say? You know what? No sin. Now he carries away sin. He's forgiving. He'll absolve sin. Not say, I'll get you back one day. What's he say? I'll absolve your sin. V'nakeh lo yinakeh. What did God say before? Before God said, lo yinakeh. Right? He'll never clean away that sin. What's he say now? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Depending on your behavior. There's again now the last one, it sounds almost the same. Poked Avon was for only this one, and now it's everyone. Do you know what Chazal understands the last one? Not that God punishes you four generations. What does he do? He waits up to four generations before he punishes you. He might, instead of punishing you right away, he might wait one, two, three, even four generations until he punishes you to give you a chance to do tshuva. Yeah.
I really got to put this on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when the other has to go to repeat it later,
yeah.
Why in the original formula? Why doesn't
he
change the formula?
Because Midot HaDin remain. But now there's also, before there were only Midot HaDin. Now, there's a double highway. You can take the, you know, There's two midot. If you remember your printers, there's two modes. There's draft mode, high quality mode. There's different modes. Maybe that's a bad analogy, but I hope you got the point. Now God, our relationship with God has two possible ways to go. That's what we say in Davin. Kel Melech Yoshev al Kiseh Rachamim, as opposed to God has a Kiseh Din. Oh, there's no president. There's Kiseh Din, Kiseh Rachamim. What do we ask him to do? What kippah is he going to put on? What? He has two modes of relationship. Or as we say in Davin, Im Kabanim, Im Kabadim. Sometimes he treats us like a father treats a child, like a parent treats a child. Sometimes he treats like a master treats his servant. There's people at work. You can be a boss, right? With your workers in your company, you can be real strict. At home, you can be a real loving father. Sometimes you have the opposite. But there's the most God can go in two different masculine. Now, if we act like a son, now what reason would you have? Let's say someone doesn't keep the business plan, doesn't follow protocol. What reason in the world would someone would God have to give him another chance? What do you need to do? He needs to show that he identifies with the mission statement. I want to go back to how he began. We have to give God a reason. Why should he give us another chance? Just like with a worker or a child. Why should I give you another chance? If you recognize what you did wrong and why you did wrong and what the problem is, okay. But if you can show God that I identify with the mission statement and I know where I'm going and I know my purpose, etc., why we're chosen, and listen, I'm human. Give me another chance. That's a reason for God using me. That's a rachamim. If you're just saying, you know what, let me out this time. Give me like the boy who cried wolf. If you're saying, you know, just over and over again, let me just do some magic formula and get you out of my way, and I'll try to get away with the next time, but not showing any remorse and not recognizing what the whole business plan is about, then why should God give you? What are you trying to show God? In tefillah, you have to show God that you recognize you've done something wrong, but you're willing to. But there, it's worthwhile for God's sake, for the sake of his mission statement, to give you another chance. God doesn't want to punish. He wants people to do what's right. Sometimes he needs to punish because they're going totally wrong. But ideally, God gains nothing by punishing. He'd rather be reformed. Be reformed is such a good word, maybe. Reform in the good sense of the word. And that's my point. That's the essence of tefillah. And that goes back to my title. To understand these gimel midot, you follow the difference between how, if you understand saying this magic formula, Harry Potter style, to pull strings, as opposed to making a statement that touches on the very essence of what it means to be Jewish and a Jewish nation and why we were chosen and why we have this set of laws. And that's what tefillah is about, and that's what tefillah is supposed to do. And that's why we say it. That's what we remember. And we're saying, God, remember when we made a covenant, when we made this business deal together, when we agreed to be your nation and follow your laws, you said, listen, I recognize you're human. Now I want to go what I thought you were asking. There's a beautiful medrash with Briat Olam, which I'm sure you remember. Rashi brings it down at the very beginning. Remember the two stories of creation, one with God's name Elohim, and then Gan Eden, the Shem Havaya? And the rabbis asked the question, right? And there's a famous statement. God wanted to create the world with Midat Hadin. Remember, Ratzakar Shboch and the Briat Olam with Midat Hadin. God wanted to create the world with Din, with judgment. What does it say that? He realized that what? It can't survive. Therefore, she takes it to Midat HaRachamim. Therefore, what did he do? He brought in along Midat HaRachamim. He did both. A road only with Rachamim, too lenient. Only Din, impossible. Right? You have to have the balance between that. That Midrash, which appears to be a Midrash on Bereshit, it's really, in my opinion, is a Midrash on Shmuel. The same pattern. If you're following what we did. And that was your question, right? Why didn't God do it? What did we gain? Why couldn't we just go right to the second? Why couldn't the first time can have Rachamim with it? To appreciate where Rachamim comes, why we have Rachamim. We have to first set up the, I think they call it a foil, don't they, guys? Is that called a foil in literature? No, I need to set up to appreciate what I end up with. It's because I go through those stages. God wants Moshe to daven. God's not angry with Moshe in his davening. God wants Moshe to daven. That's the pasuk Avtahanichali. He's setting him up because I want you to daven. Because he wants Moshe to express exactly what. If God just gave it to me as a rachamim, like, you wouldn't appreciate it. When you go through the different steps, the story helps you appreciate the nature of a relationship. And that, in essence, We have Am Yisrael as a nation has a relationship with God. And that relationship is based, and the whole set of laws is based on its goal. And by understanding the mission statement, right? And how the Torah is a business plan, but in that contract, there's room for leniency and reason for leniency. But then, it's the same thing in any kind of contract. And any boss and workers, what do they call that? And when you negotiate workers,
labor.
You know, labor, what's that? Labor something.
Labor
relations, right? So there's times you have to be strict, and times when you have to be lenient. And here it comes through in davening. So to summarize, I will try to show you how when you study the source of Midat Rachamim in their story in Chumash, and understand how they're part of a whole sort of development of this idea of covenant in Am Yisrael in Chumash between God and the people and its purpose, and Am Yisrael is chosen for responsibility, not just as a privilege. And there is a mission statement, and the laws come to help you fulfill that. And strictness is necessary to make sure that God, the job gets done. But within that, there's also a need for Rachamim. And we come to Davin, and we're being judged. It's important, if we ask for Rachamim, we have to show God that we understand why the possibility is there. And if you can do that in Davening, then you're... And therefore, what do we do in Elul? Elul becomes a month of doing things to show that we know a mission. Therefore, we're more makpid on all mitzvot. Right? Ben amachadera, ben amamakom, the whole... Now, don't turn into a mushish mood, but the rest you can fill in yourself. But that's the kesher between Davening. I think it's such an important point between understanding davening as these mystical formulas and either borderline or vada of other zara, as opposed to understanding what you are in your whole relationship with God. The difference, I think, is day and night. I think what I call I think it helps to understand what the depth and the beauty of Judaism in a relationship with God and being chosen to get something accomplished as a nation. I think hopefully that'll help us Mir Tashem in our Gzardin of the year to come. I'll answer questions if you want. Yeah. No. By the way, Misha Berach, if you want to answer the same thing, I'll try not to be too mean. There's that Misha Berach is what you. If everyone in the community knows somebody, you're in the community, and everyone, as you say someone's name, he knows it is, and you mention the name in public and say it out loud, right? And then so that'll more rachamim. People think about it, and well, if it just becomes this. What do you call it? Long, like 20-page long list line. Everyone's, you know, stuck in the table and everything. So you gain a little. It's much less. I think the best thing with many other souls is you have mishadach, you have quiet, and everyone says the names of the people they know. I think it's much. I think that's pretty much the minhag mekubal, because it shouldn't turn into a farce. Again, there's something in mentioning the name that's important. There's value to ritual, right? But you gotta keep them balanced. But see, you gotta follow the. That's why I use an analogy. You have always keep the mission statement, right? But together with the business plan. But both have their weight. So if it's a mitzvah, which is for us, is one thing. You know, a minhag, and there's more. 200 meters. Yeah. Sure enough.
Yeah.